Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. In Massachusetts, there are at least 19 licensed recreational pot stores, but according to the Boston Globe, not a single one involves an applicant from the state's social equity or economic empowerment programs. Now, this can't come as great news for Shalene Title. She's one of the five commissioners on the Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission. Title's focus on the commission is social justice, which she's here to talk with us today. Commissioner Title, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me on.
And listeners, we also want to hear from you during this segment. Do you think the state is meeting its equity goals when it comes to the rollout of recreational marijuana? Do you have questions for Commissioner Shalene Title of the Cannabis Control Commission? You can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So first, I want to ask you, because last week on Radio Boston, we spoke with Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, and we asked him, you know, what the holdup was for recreational marijuana stores in the city of Boston. And he told us, basically, ask the state.
They have 9 applications up there right now, and we'll wait. You know, there's a process that goes through here that we go through the city of Boston and go through the zoning commission and the zoning committee, and then we put it up to the state. So I was asked the question the other day by an applicant, where's my license? I'm like, well, where is it? He says at the state. Well, you have to contact the state because we've done our part.
So can you shed any light on what the holdup is as far as opening recreational stores in the state's largest city?
Sure. Well, we issue more licenses at each meeting. Our next one is coming up this Thursday. They're generally first in, first out. We have priority applicants, economic empowerment priority, and medical priority. So if they're in, they will be reviewed and the commission will evaluate them.
So we're not sure if any are coming to Boston quite yet.
Well, there's a lot of integrity to the process. So as a commissioner, I see it when it comes before the commission in public.
So Thursday, potentially, you might see one from Boston, or you can't even talk about that. Okay.
The agenda is posted online.
Okay.
Thursday, actually.
So 19 recreational pot stores that have been licensed as of last week. And as we mentioned, not a single one involves applicants from the state's social equity or economic empowerment programs. You're the social justice chair on the Cannabis Control Commission. So what's going on there?
Yeah, so let me tell you about a couple of very new initiatives that we've made. So at our last meeting, we approved social consumption and delivery licenses, and these will be exclusively for economic empowerment and equity program participants. That program is just getting underway, and other small businesses.
So what does social consumption mean?
So social consumption can be cannabis cafes or event licenses. So we actually, you may remember, approved these in December 2017, mm-hmm. But there was a lot of pushback that it was too much too fast. So we went back to the drawing board. This one is a very incremental approach. It's a pilot program. It will be in 12 municipalities max. And most importantly, we're going to keep the data not just on how this is working for equity program participants, but in terms of public health, public safety, underage access, impaired driving. And that way, everyone can make decisions about whether to expand the program based on the data.
So you mentioned that the legislation required priority to be given for businesses that already have medical marijuana licenses. And you know, a lot of those places have been able to quickly transition into recreational. But again, social equity applicants have not. Why is that?
So there's two categories, economic empowerment priority. And this is a designation that merely gives you priority in the licensing process. So you get reviewed first. I think what we've learned and the approach here is we try different things, what works for equity, what works for diversity, and we're honest about it. I would say that approach of priority in the process without support service, it hasn't really worked. Now, the equity program, that's technical assistance, that's fee waivers, and now we're the first state to do exclusive access to licenses. We're trying that. I think that's going to work well. If not, we'll try something else.
So you say it hasn't, that at least that first prong hasn't really worked. So why not? I mean, I guess what went wrong?
Well, we did a survey, mm-hmm. and the top three barriers to entry that they named are a lack of capital. And of course, that's very common and an obvious one, given that businesses can't get loans from banks because of federal prohibition. And we can talk about the Senate
amendment.
Yes,
we will.
Yes. And then an issue with the local approval process, that's been very difficult to get through, particularly for smaller applicants. And then just needing some more time or some more assistance with starting up a business and writing a business plan.
1-800-423-8255 is the phone number. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Do you have questions for Commissioner Shalene Tytle of the Cannabis Control Commission? Again, give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. So you mentioned this idea of banking and funding. And last week, the state Senate rejected a proposal that would create no interest publicly financed loans for people to get into the business who have previously been affected by prohibition on marijuana. And State Senator Sonia Chang Diaz said that she will try again after more details have been hammered out. And you support this effort. What still needs to be worked out? And is there support there for this idea?
Yes, there is so much support for this idea. I think that, of course, it's disappointing that it didn't go through last week, but the proposal from the commission came in April. So I was actually very pleasantly surprised to see Senator Chang Diaz being so proactive. There was a lot of support for it. I think that there is general widespread support and looking to the commission to say, what tools do you need to get to this vision that Massachusetts voters and legislators had of a diverse industry with small and large businesses. And a big piece of that is access to loans. So I have a lot of optimism that this idea will be worked out more and that we will see a social equity loan fund.
So she said, Senator Sonia Chang Diaz, to the Boston Globe this week that, quote, every month that we don't act is a month that market share is getting claimed and eaten up. So every day, really, that's happening. Do you think the state is moving too slowly on equity?
Well, no matter how fast we were going and no matter how much we were doing, I would say yes, because I don't know if we can ever make up for the harms that were done with the drug war. But I think we need to do as much as we can, as fast as we can.
I want to take a call here from Amel from Dedham. Welcome to Radio Boston. What's your question?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I just have a quick question, and I appreciate the commissioner being on. Let's say that I would like to get into this this business, into the market. And I'm a small, I own a small farm, and I'd like to start growing and start contributing. What would be the avenues that I would need to go down, or really basically how would I start if I would like to work with vendors and really get involved in this? I'll hang up and take the answer online. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for your call. Commissioner Tytle?
So let me point you to an underappreciated resource, I think, which is the guidance documents on our website, masscannabiscontrol.com. And if you click on guidance, you will see information about all the different types of licenses, including craft cooperatives, which provide special benefits for farmers, and specifically guidance for farmers as well. So if you're interested in any type of license, that's a good place to start.
Great. I do want to play a clip of tape here from Tito Jackson. He's a regular contributor here at WBUR. He also runs a cannabis company, Verdant Medical. He's a former Boston City Councilor. And he told us that he views one of the central hurdles for minority applicants who are interested in getting in the industry is money.
The problem really is the barrier to entry is about $1 million per store. And understand, this is an industry that is unbanked. You can't go to the bank down the street and ask for a loan because it's not federally legal.
So how can the state help those, you know, those folks who want to get into the industry but can't get those kind of loans?
First of all, I'd want to thank then Councillor Jackson. He was the first elected official in the state, actually, to endorse legalization. I think that Senator Chang Diaz's idea of a loan fund is the most straightforward way to provide capital. I also think that even though the commission shouldn't be making loans to businesses that we regulate, I think there's a lot that we can do in terms of making these businesses attractive to investors. And a big piece of that is the technical assistance and the business training, showing them how you can have good corporate governance, how you can have good hiring practices, how you can run a business well so that investors will want to invest in you.
Let's take another call here. Jenna is calling from Littleton. Jenna, what's your question for Commissioner Tytle of the Cannabis Control Commission?
Hi, my question for the commissioner is, what is the CCC planning to do about applicants who are coming forward who appear on their face to not be involved with a cannabis company that already has 3 established retail licenses, but perhaps is providing 100% wholesale contract and incubator support to, like, the little guy, but in fact are very much perhaps a front for a company that's already received three licenses and are going ahead.
Great. Jenna, thanks so much for the call. Commissioner Title?
Yeah, it's been so great to get more of these questions recently and seeing all of the attention paid to this, because it's really important. For me, the other side of equity is you have to help small businesses, but you also have to make sure you enforce our license limits. So we've been discussing this all along. You can see in our regulations passed more than a year ago that we have very strict ownership and control limitations. You can see the details on that on our guidance for businesses. And I can see also that local governments are now paying attention to this. So I've been asked a lot, what can we do in terms of host community agreements, in terms of requiring disclosure of management agreements? I think you'll start to see that now, not just at the state level, but at the local level as well. And I think it's something that it's on us to be diligent about, and we are.
You are. Okay. Well, let's take another call here. Josh is calling from Danvers. Josh, you're on Radio Boston. What's your question for the commissioner?
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for coming on air today. The one question I have, and I think a lot of people, you know, in the state are kind of have the same question, and that is, with science out there with drunk drivers, we have plenty of science to find intoxicated drivers. But what science is out there to basically find people under the influence of marijuana when they're driving? And perhaps that's why, you know, we're having some skepticism with the banks and the funding issue.
Got it. Thank you, Josh from Danvers, for that call. 1-800-423-8255 is the number if you'd like to join Commissioner Shalene Title of the Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission. How about that, Commissioner Title? What's in the pipeline in terms of the science on impaired driving?
So the state law, the same one that created our commission, also created a commission on impaired driving that met several times. It had experts from law enforcement, scientific experts, civil rights experts, and they issued a report with their recommendations. And the general gist of their recommendations is that we don't have a tool that's exactly equivalent to, say, a breathalyzer, but what we do have is drug recognition experts. And so they recommend that we have more and that we continue to be vigilant about making sure that people who are driving are not impaired.
So I want to ask you about something you mentioned a little earlier in our conversation, delivery services. And I'm just wondering how that might work.
So, look, we have five people on the commission, five different areas: social justice, public health, public safety, government regulation, and business. So you can imagine coming from those five perspectives, deciding what delivery should look like was a very robust, ongoing conversation. But what we currently have decided is that delivery looks like a license where you can purchase from a retailer and then deliver to a consumer with very robust regulations and security requirements.
Could you deliver to someone in a town where there's a prohibition on marijuana?
So you have to follow our meeting on Thursday and Friday because that's on the agenda. And there's definitely some questions about that. I personally question whether we have the authority to limit whether a person can receive a delivery of cannabis if they're over 21. But there's differing opinions on that.
So the commission's still deciding it. Sorry. And you were explaining the rest of the program. Continue.
So for me, down the line, the goal is to have what I call a non-storefront retailer, where you would act as a retailer. You can wholesale cannabis products and then deliver them, but this is a lower capital license, so you wouldn't have to invest in real estate. And this is a successful model elsewhere. But at this time, we're focusing on purchasing from retailers, delivering to the consumer, making sure we have those regulations implemented. We test them out, and then we can move on to the next phase.
We have another caller who has a question for you. Brian is calling from Worcester. Brian, you're on Radio Boston.
Hi, I just had a quick question. I was kind of confused. So the commissioner said something about people being disadvantaged by the war on drugs. I mean, if people are doing something that's illegal and they're getting arrested for doing something that's illegal, how is that disadvantaged? I'll take my call online.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Commissioner Title, respond to that.
So it's very well documented, not just in Massachusetts, but across the United States, that Black and Latino people specifically have been disproportionately harmed by the war on drugs, disproportionately arrested and incarcerated relative to the rate of usage, which tends to be equal. And so there is data, you can find it on our website, you can find it elsewhere, that shows those disparities. And also, our equity programs are focused on a evidence-based study of geographic areas of disproportionate impact as well.
So I want to ask you about the prevalence of the black market in this industry. BDS Analytics, a cannabis market research firm, found earlier this year that some 75% of the pot sold in the state this year will be under the table. And they estimate it could take another 3 years or more before enough stores are open to make a dent in the black market. Are you surprised by that number? Is there a concern there? And what's the commission doing about it?
I'm not surprised by that number. So if you ask an expert on the illicit market and the general transfer that happens after legalization, that number is about what you would expect, or even maybe a little better than you'd expect with the number of stores that we have open and the amount of time that it has been. And we are very steadily going in the direction of more stores. And research shows that consumers tend to transition based on availability of products, accessibility, location, other convenience
price.
Factors. Certainly price, absolutely. And so that's not something that keeps me up at night, because the path that we are on is headed that way.
So you tweeted this morning that, quote, so many state governments are hectically discussing social equity as we speak, and we have to learn from each other. So when you look at other states that have legalized recreational marijuana, who do you think is doing the best job to address equity concerns? And what are some of the lessons that the Massachusetts Commission can learn?
Well, I think that we are doing the best, and I don't think we're doing very well at all. So that means, then this is what I tell other states, what Massachusetts is doing is the bare minimum. And so if you look at Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, all of these states are, they're not, it's not the old model of we'll take what we can get with legalization. The people who are interested in equity are holding firm and saying we will not legalize unless it's done in a fair and inclusive way. And I think that's the right way to go.
So finally, last question for you. What would be your message to social equity or minority applicants right now?
Oh, I love that question. I would say participate in our feedback period. There are only two a year. We have one starting now. Tell us what your challenges are. Tell us what your barriers are. And we will systematically and individually address them.
And your next meeting is Thursday.
And our next meeting is Thursday.
All right. That's Shalene Title. She's a commissioner on the Cannabis Control Commission, and she serves in the social justice seat. Commissioner Title, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, who killed James Reeb, a Boston minister who was murdered during the civil rights movement? A new podcast investigates, and we'll talk to the folks behind it. I'm Jamie Bologna, and this is Radio Boston.